This week, we're bringing you stories from the working tapes, recordings that Studs Terkel made in the 1970s as he traveled the country interviewing people about their jobs.
How would you describe your work?
I'm a processing clerk.
I'm a carpenter from South Carolina.
Boring, monotonous.
Your mouth gets tired of talking.
I started working when I was about 12 years old.
I mean, you gotta work. Nothing wrong with it. People have been doing it for years.
The result was a best-selling book called Working. But until this week, few people had heard Terkel's recordings of these interviews. Our partner Radio Diaries, along with the organization Project AND, went back to those old tapes to produce our series, Working Then and Now. Our story today is about the auto industry and how in the 1970s, robotics began to change what it meant to work in a factory.
I'm somewhere between Youngstown and Warren, Ohio. Industrial area, steel, automobiles. Talking to Gary Briner. Gary Briner is the president of Local 1114 United Auto Workers. No, 1124.
1112.
1112. Well, what sort of plant is this?
It's the General Motors Vega plant in Lordstown.
The most automated plant in the world, isn't it?
Right. It's the fastest line speed in the world. And they've got the most modern equipment, the Unimates. They got 22 in a row, 11 on each side of the line.
Can you describe a Unimate?
Well, it looks like a robot, you know, and it reminds me of a praying mantis. When they took the Unimates on, we were building 60 an hour prior to the Unimates. And when we came back to work with the Unimates, we were building 101 cars per hour. See, they never tire, they never sweat, they never complain, they never miss work. They're always there.
Yeah. So what happened to the guys in the plant that are working there now?
It's a funny thing, you know, when they revamped the plant, they tried to take every movement out of the guy's day so that he could conserve seconds and time, so that they could make him more efficient, more productive.
Is the assembly line approach dependent upon the fact that each guy is exactly like the other guy?
Right. GM's reason for trying to be more efficient is that if they could take 1 second and save a second on each guy's effort, they would, over a year, make $1 million.
1 second?
That's right. You know, they use the stopwatches. And they say, look, we know from experience that it takes so many seconds to walk from here to there. We know that it takes so many seconds to shoot that screw. We know the gun turns so fast and the screw so long and the hole so deep. We know how long it takes. And that's what that guy's going to do. And our argument has always been, you know, that's mechanical. Mm-hmm. That's not human. Look, we tire, we sweat, we have hangovers, we have upset stomachs, we have feelings, emotions, and we're not about to be placed in a category of a machine.
This is something new, isn't it? The workers in the plant, they feel that they have a right in determining the nature of their work, too, the working men?
We do now. We have some kind of pride being able to stand up to the giant General Motors Corporation and say, look, this is what I think is fair, and I'm willing to fight to show you that it's fair. I just think they want to be able to be treated with dignity and some respect, and you know, that's not asking a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it takes me back. I'm Gary Briner, retired, have been for 11 years. I didn't plan to be a union guy. I just wandered into it. In 1966 through 75, maybe later, the company and the union were bitter enemies. Every gain we made usually came out of a strike, and that's just the way it was. But the job of the union today is much tougher than it was for me in 1970 because the strength of the union has been so weakened. And look, the union's not perfect. I'd be the first to say it. But, you know, what we did in the union is to create this middle class that were able to do things, enjoy their life outside of work. And I worry about these things that we're losing. But listen, you got to have a job. No matter what it is, you got to have a job. It's one of those things that must be.
Picking it up with Gary, you feel this is shape of things to come?
I hope that it is, because I think what we're doing is right. You know, we're putting humans before profits, and I think that's necessary. I think if it isn't that way in other places, it should be.
That's Gary Briner from Studs Terkel's book, Working. Our series was produced by Radio Diaries, along with Project AND. Tomorrow on the program, we'll hear from the last piano player at Chicago's Sherman Hotel.
Saloons are kind of full of lonely people, trying to fill an empty hour or two, avoiding their life somewhere, you know.